Okay, Carmen, we're live. This is not Memorex. We're going to jump right into this. As we're doing this right now, we're actually recording another program right after the other one. And we were talking on a previous program about the kingdom. But before we jump into it, I was going to say, how you doing? But I didn't let the cat out the bag. So you better be doing pretty much the same as you were doing before. unless the previous program just messed up your day.
Yeah.
But we were talking about the kingdom.
Yes.
And how there are kingdoms in conflict.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. You still believe that?
Absolutely. In fact, you know what, Jim? I've said this. I know you have too. I really wonder whether we are walking according to the precepts of the kingdom if we are not experiencing conflict with the surrounding culture. Now, that doesn't mean that we should intentionally go out and try to make trouble. But if we are just seeking to live our lives according to what Jesus said, I believe there's going to be increasing conflict that we are going to find ourselves in. And then we have a choice to make. Are we going to veer away from the kingdom of God in order to remain comfortable, in order to avoid conflict? Or are we going to be like Jesus and the disciples and those that we really hold in high esteem when we see them staying the course and pursuing the kingdom, and it got them into all kinds of trouble? And I believe, Jim, that what we have not recognized, at least in Western society, and it could be other places as well, but I'm acquainted with Western society.
Right.
I believe that what we have failed to recognize is that the kingdom is political. Mm-hmm. We say, I hear this. You've heard this statement. Everybody has.
Right.
Well, two things. If you want to stay away from conflict and trouble, don't talk about religion or politics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, I believe that what has not been recognized is that the kingdom of God is both.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm using religion now as a catch-all word because mm-hmm. I think religion is man's invention.
Right.
But God is talking about spiritual things. And I believe it's spiritual and it's political because it is a kingdom, it is a government
God
that is going to be set up.
That's right.
And that government is in conflict with the government of the United States.
That's right.
And every other government that man sets up.
That's right.
And so if we adhere to that government of God, we're going to sooner or later run into conflict, and I believe it's coming sooner rather than later. And so I think we as Christians are going to have a choice to make. Are we going to follow Jesus and his kingdom, or are we going to withdraw for the sake of not having conflict and just having peace in our own lives so we don't have to run into all these hardships?
Now, this program is called Kingdom Rising, and so some of the talk about the kingdom and how it goes forward, and the kingdom of heaven suffers violence.
I was thinking the same verse.
And the violence.
Go ahead and quote
force,
that. Yes.
Force. Well, this stuff makes some people kind of almost nervous, right?
Yes.
And it's related to their personality.
Right.
Not everybody loves a good fight, Carmen.
You know,
and so it's related to their personality.
Yeah.
50% of the population are the type of people that don't want to rock the boat.
Mm.
You know, they're not big change agents or
yes.
anything like that. You know what I mean? They like things very systematic and calm and steady and everything
yes.
like that. And so when you get into talk like this here, when you talk about this stuff here, I'm sure that it makes some people somewhat nervous.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because even in their faith, they don't want to rock the boat.
Right.
They want to. But I would say this here. There's several revelations in the scripture. One of the revelations is that the Lord is after his bride.
That's it.
Now, so when you talk about the bridal love, which we all need to come into an understanding, but some people camp in on the bridal love because they don't want to go over to the other part.
Right? Yes.
So they camp in on the bridal love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another revelation in the scriptures is that the Father is after a house. I mean, he's
yes.
after a house that he can dwell in.
Right.
That is very appealing to many people, and that's the truth too.
Yes,
this is the two aspects.
Exactly.
But the other third aspect that's very clearly revealed is about the kingdom.
Yes, in fact, that was the message of Jesus.
Right,
he preached the kingdom from beginning to end. He didn't preach church; he preached kingdom.
Right. So the Lord preached the kingdom.
Yes.
Right? He was after his bride.
That's
There's
right.
No doubt about that.
That's right.
Did he come to save sinners? Yeah, but he was after his bride.
That's right. That's it.
This is what we need to know. And the Father was after his house.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? The Lord sent the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about the kingdom all we want, but if we don't recognize the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit.
That's right. If we don't recognize the Holy Spirit, and if we don't stay in the right spirit.
That's right.
We're not moving with God to build his kingdom. That's right. No, I mean, come on, let's be for real here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of damage has been done by people that talk kingdom, mm-hmm. but really it was just the kingdom of this world.
Yes.
Just repackaged in a different way.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Huh? Jesus, when Jesus preached the kingdom, he came up with radical stuff that he said. I mean, he talked about loving your enemies.
Yes, and turning the other cheek.
Turning the other cheek, praying for those who despitefully use you.
Yes.
I mean, come on, man. No, but people love to hear about the kingdom, right? But their way is, you know, we gotta take every mountain and do this and do that, you know? And so it moves over into an aspect of people thinking of a naturalistic establishment of kingdom.
Yes.
Instead of understanding, has the Lord called us to occupy? Absolutely. But
that's
we're
right.
called to walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get out of the spirit of the Lord and be involved in him and establishing his
that's
kingdom.
That's it.
There's no way we can do that. And what you said before, let me finish this thought, about it being political. Well, some people got confused. They thought they were supposed to be so deeply entrenched.
There you go. That's right.
In empire politics.
Right. Empire building.
Right. And Jesus, didn't he constantly deal with that, Carmen? Didn't he say, render unto Caesar's?
Yes. The things that are Caesar's.
Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
He said, render unto Caesar's the things that are Caesar's.
Right.
I mean, he recognized where his kingdom was being established.
Right.
But render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And without in line with that, though, here's the one talking. And so this is the bridegroom talking to what is to be his bride.
Yes. And see, when we talk about the kingdom like that and how vastly different it is from the ways and the kingdoms of this world.
It's totally upside down. It's
it is.
It's totally different.
It's totally reversed.
Totally reversed.
And in fact, I would say the kingdom is right side up. It's these kingdoms of the world that are upside down.
Upside
see?
Down.
And so Jesus has come to write that. And when we read what is called the Sermon on the Mount, beginning with chapter 5 of Matthew, that's the Magna Carta of the kingdom.
That's right.
And I've heard people say, I've heard Christians say, well, that's not practical in the world in which we live. Say, wait a minute. It's not practical if you're thinking from the world's perspective.
That's right.
But if you're...
It'll take the Spirit of God.
Yes, exactly.
What a radical idea, Carl.
And what a radical idea.
That it would take the Spirit of God.
It's going to take the Spirit of God in order to live that out, in order to manifest that.
It can't be done any other kind
of way. It can't be done any other way. Because what's the first thing that I want to do if somebody wrongs me? I want to get even.
I want to
see,
get them.
Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth.
And that's in the Bible.
That's in the Bible.
See what I'm saying? But that's what I was saying, Carmen. See, if you don't come into a revelation of Christ,
that's it.
You'll twist things around. And you
absolutely.
Will not understand God bringing this progressive revelation about who we are, who he is, and what we're called to do. And see, people get confused in these areas.
That's it.
Now, here's an example of how, instead of us being counterculture, so to speak, and instead of us being involved in God establishing his kingdom, here's an example, Carmen. We start to set things up just like the world. We talked about this on a previous program.
Go ahead.
Instead of us just being this radical group of people, corporate, two or more.
Yes.
We start to set things up higher in this hierarchy.
Oh, yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Huh? Now, if you look at how things are set up, it's very little different in many churches from how it's set up in the world. You look at corporate...
It's identical.
We look at corporate structure.
Sure. It's identical,
it's
Jim.
It's identical.
And so we say, what has happened here that we are functioning with the same kind of management styles, the same kind of structures that the world sets up, and I can't find that in Scripture.
And some would say to you, but you don't understand, brother. This is the only practical way to do it.
Yeah, see,
you know, how can we have 500 people all giving voice? That would be chaotic. This would not be a very practical thing. well, it just maybe it's very possible that the Lord don't want you to have 500.
There you go. That's
now, I'm just saying.
You said it.
No, I just started saying it. You finish it.
Well, yeah. You know what? Here's the thing, Jim. This shows, I believe, how the culture has invaded the church.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because
this church has got 20-something.
Oh, yeah.
Thousand.
My son is in one of those. Now, here's where I believe we see the culture having made such deep inroads into our thinking as believers. Because the culture that we live in, the American culture, what is the thing? It's bigness.
That's right.
Oh, you got to be big. Got to be big. And so we've adopted that, and we've embraced that. And yet in Scripture, we find that it wasn't bigness. God is interested in relationship. Relationship deals with very intimate, personal kind of things. And so as the, quote, church, as the communities met as we see them in the first century, they met in homes. They couldn't have 500 people meeting at a time because there was no home big enough.
Even in the largest home, Carmen. But see, what we're talking now, and it's coming forth more and more, but most people have been brought up on being adopted into a culture to where what most of the people identified as pastors, mm-hmm. they learn how to do instant church.
That's it.
This is what they learn from someone else about instant church. Now, how do you do instant church, Carmen? Well, first of all, you need to get somebody that's real good with musicianship and, mm-hmm. and very good music and everything to do the worship and everything. And then you if you're the one starting the church, either you got to be a good communicator, preacher, or you got to get somebody that can at least do that.
Yes.
Then you got to take in appeal to the people by, instead of having hard wooden seats to sit on, you better have some cushioned seats and stuff like that. Wouldn't hurt you to have a cappuccino machine. No, listen, Carmen, now you're over here laughing, but you know what I'm saying. You bring this into this culture, get mm-hmm. attracts, you do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And follow, and even if you can't do it at the beginning, as soon as you can, you move it over into that. Mm-hmm. You will attract a certain, well, at least you used to be able to attract a certain group of people. You can almost do instant church.
Yes.
Almost overnight, you got yourself a church. Everybody looks at you and says, wow, they went from zero to 300 people in a year. Yeah. Well, they're just following certain practices.
Yes.
You follow what I'm saying?
Certain business principles.
Certain business principles.
Yes.
And then you do it that way. If you're going to do it that way, then you got to do certain things to keep the people. Because if you don't, you're not going to keep
That's
them.
That's right.
So you always got to have something going on. Conferences, this, that. Some people very adept at it. They set up so many different programs so that a good portion of the people can be leaders.
Mm. Yes.
And it satisfies that need. Yep. You look at the outline of some churches, they might have 400 people in their church, 500, but they got 100 programs.
Yes, yes. Now, Jim, when you say this,
you look at this list of programs, man, they got this ministry, that. But that's part of the way, God help us here. That is part of the way that people find themselves being seduced. And that's a strong word.
Yeah, but it's accurate.
But it's very accurate, Carmen. And this is not conducive for people to grow in Christ.
See, that's it. And I've said this before. Gordon Cosby, who is in his 90s now, but he founded Church of the Savior in Washington, D.C. back in the 40s after he came out of the war. He was a chaplain. In the army in World War II.
Right.
He came out and he knew what kind of church he wanted to establish. Now, I'm not going to go into all those details, but he made this statement. He says, the church is structured to keep people in perpetual infancy.
That's right.
So that people in this structure, unless they break free of it. When I say break free of it, I don't mean that they leave the church. Unless they break free of the mentality that is there, they will be kept in perpetual infancy, unable to ascend to what God has intended for them as individuals.
That's right.
Whereas when people are functioning in such a way where they are in a close-knit community.
That's right.
And the relationships are being built and strengthened in that close-knit community. They then are engaged in life in a way that they can never be
in a
larger congregation. Because now, Christ is manifested, Jesus is manifested in those relationships with one another,
right.
And correction is made. They're also exhorted and encouraged.
That's right.
Whereas when they are involved in an institutional kind of setting whereby everything is done for the institution,
right.
For that organization, there is no longer this intimacy that is going to draw them closer and enable them to mature through relationships with one another, really through relationship with the Lord.
That's right.
Through these this close circle.
That's right.
And the result is that it just becomes a mechanical kind of life and experience in this religious organization. Now, it sounds like we're really nailing the institutional church.
Well, and also, Carmen, the message that is preached, because instead of the message just being Christ-centered,
And kingdom-centered.
What happens, see, is that the focus is on the person who is identified as being a Christian.
Yes.
And most of the messages are that way. It's not focusing on the Lord.
That's right.
Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me.
Yes.
So when you talk about these communities, really what you're talking about is that Christ is lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a worshiping community.
That's it.
In its most basic manifestation,
right.
It is a worshiping community. So somewhere... Not somewhere, but at the center and the focus of this community, however it's manifested.
Yes,
you know, Christ is at the center,
right?
And many that are caught up in the system, they recognize that it's very difficult to keep the focus on Christ.
Yes,
because if you're not constantly feeding the people that are not being fed, if you're not constantly stroking and giving them what they feel like they need, well, they're not going to stay, and so you find yourself in this catch-22.
And you know something, Jim? When you brought that up, and we've said this before, so it sounds like a broken record, I guess. When people use that excuse for leaving one church to go to another because they said, I'm not getting fed anymore, they're already admitting they're infants.
That's
because
right.
Only infants need feeding.
That's right.
Adults, people learn early on to feed themselves.
That's right.
We teach our children to feed themselves. So you do not have a 10-year-old sitting at the table that needs fed. And so these people are already admitting they're spiritual infants, and they haven't matured. They may have been a Christian for 40 years, but they say, well, I'm leaving the church. I'm not leaving this church to go to another because I'm not getting fed here. So, well, you've just admitted that you're a 40-year-old baby because you are not. Now, I want to throw something else in here, Jim, because I believe that we have totally missed this. I shouldn't say totally. But we have largely missed this. And that's the whole thing with a missional mentality. God is on mission in the earth. And if we're going to move with Him, then we have to be a missional people as well. And Gordon Cosby, when he founded his church, one of the things that he insisted upon, that everyone that was going to be involved in that congregation is going to be engaged in mission. They're going to be involved in a small group that different ones had different ministries because God had put different things in different people. And so this one may have felt that, God has given them a real burden for prostitutes in the city. And so their ministry was the prostitutes. And so there are several other people that banded with him. So here they have this small community where they're relating to one another, but they're praying and seeking God. And so they're ministering out. In other words, it's not focused inward. Well, what are we going to build here? And what are we going to... No, their ministry was outward, trying to reach those people and touch people's lives with the kingdom of God. And his church became so powerful and so strong, and yet it was a very small congregation by today's standards.
And he didn't come up with a new technique, Carmen.
No, he just followed Jesus.
Well, that's organic. That's the organic life.
It.
That's the organic life of, quote, the church, the ecclesia. And this will happen. A lot of times, the struggle is for people just to have an atmosphere.
That's it.
To where it can happen.
That's
it. Like a greenhouse. This is this is the term that the Neil Cole uses about the greenhouse.
Yes.
To try to establish a greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you travel outside the United States, Carmen, you can see just how toxic the system is.
You've done that. I mean, you've been out of the United States.
I was going to bring this point in. Because I can see how devastating the Western brand of Christianity can be when you see people in other cultures and other areas adopting, I started to say, this foolishness. you can see just how toxic it is. See, we've created something that's very conducive to the culture, the society in which we live.
Yes.
And so it can have the appearance of working here.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? But, Carmen, if you take it and you put it into another place, see, I've been in Zimbabwe.
Okay.
And I've seen a pastor who tried to adopt a lot of these Western things. And so I've seen him trying to build this big building. And I've seen this hole in the ground
okay.
and the cinder blocks around. And he's trying to build this big building in the culture. People don't even have hardly food to eat and stuff like that. And I tried to talk to him and constantly let him know that God is not going to put his blessing upon this stuff here. But, you know, but he's still thinking this Western mindset.
Yes. Okay.
You know what I mean? And I could take you over there right now and probably still show you the same hole because the culture is still not conducive,
okay,
to this kind of foolishness. But see, when you take the organicity that the Lord releases through the Holy Spirit,
yes.
it can be transplanted anywhere, Carmen.
Yes, that's it.
It's not dependent. It's not dependent upon the society.
That's right.
It can be transplanted anywhere.
Exactly.
You can go to some island somewhere in Malaysia somewhere. And there's only 500 people living on the island. It still can be transplanted.
That's
there.
It. That's exactly
anywhere.
Right.
Anywhere. It's not conducive. It's not dependent upon the society.
And we see that. We see that as we read the scriptures. We see that with Paul.
Uh-huh.
Paul went into all these different areas that had different cultures and so forth. He was in what is now Turkey, Galatia. He goes into Ephesus. He goes into Corinth. He goes into all of these various places and within the empire, and nothing prevents him from seeing disciples made, and those disciples then come together in communities. And because they didn't need buildings. There's no place that Paul built a building.
But Paul warned the people not to be carnal.
That's it. He warned them not to be carnal.
He warned them not to be carnal or to adopt all this stuff from this empire.
Right. That's it.
Or whatever the prevailing culture is in the society, because God's establishing his kingdom. And we talked about it. It's counterculture.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And you know what, Jim? When you were talking about this pastor in Zimbabwe that you have a relationship with, and the hole in the ground that is there because people barely have enough to eat, and yet here he's trying to do it the American way, the Western way. You know what that is? That's colonialism. That's just what the Western governments practiced in the colonial period.
Well, they had Christianity.
Yeah.
They transplanted it,
and what they're doing is transplanting their culture,
that's right.
their culture. It's, you know what I thought of? It's like when the Carlisle School started, for Indians.
The Indian school, right.
They brought these children in, gave them, quote, Christian names.
That's right.
Cut their hair. They made them have this appearance. Put Western clothes on.
Yeah.
They said, you have to be like this. This is the Christian way. It wasn't the Christian way. It was the American Western way. It was a cultural way. We've done that very same thing.
Oh, yeah.
And somehow, in all of that, the kingdom has gotten lost.
And that's what Gordon Cosby, it's Cosby, right?
Not yes.
Crosby. He wanted to establish something that would not be sucked up by the prevailing culture.
There you go.
In order to be able to reach the people.
That's it.
And so that's why he was so strong on that.
Yes.
And that's why he didn't want to be involved in duplicating or replicating
right.
what was already being done, because it wasn't effective.
Even way back then,
you talk about after World War II, it wasn't effective.
That's it.
And he wanted to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you said, even though maybe the church wasn't that large in terms of what people talk about the large church, still the people that went out from there
right.
have really made a major impact upon society.
There has been hundreds of ministries that have been started out of that church by the people, because he said, you will be engaged with the people out there to touch them with the kingdom of God. And Fellowship of Christian Athletes is one of the things that came out of there.
Wow.
They have a college that has come out of there. They have housing developments that have come out of there.
So it didn't have to be Church of the Redeemer. I guess that's their name.
Church of the Savior.
Church of the Savior Fellowship of Athletes program.
Right. In fact, Jim?
It didn't have to be that.
It didn't have to be that. In fact,
thank God it wouldn't.
In fact, he insisted. Now, if the people that established this particular ministry, if they wanted the church, if they wanted it to come under, if they wanted to be under the umbrella of that particular church, Church of the Savior, it was fine. But he made no insistence that what they were doing come under the name of the church. And so,
because he wasn't trying to build his own empire,
So here's all these ministries, and people are being touched and impacted and affected. In fact, they instituted, they had one ministry. Some of the people there started this foster child ministry. It was so effective that the city of Washington D.C. revamped their whole system for foster children to match this one. Wow. And they said, "This is what is working. This is how we're going to do it here." So that's what happens.
That's
what happens when people get involved with the kingdom, see,
right,
rather than trying to build their own church institution or their own church. They weren't concerned with that. Now, here's the kicker. He's retired. Last December, he retired. He suggested they don't hire another pastor. In fact, what they're doing, they're disbanding the church. And they're disbanding
hallelujah.
It into all these different communities in the Washington, D.C. area.
Well, hallelujah, and thank God.
And they sold their building. They're selling their building.
Thank God that he had enough conviction and courage to be able to do that and to say that. Because, Carmen, I shared with you, I find many times people will contact us or want us to be involved in different things,
mm-hmm.
and we really can do it, because it's like once you start to get a revelation about something here, how can you go back to act like you don't have it?
Yes,
you really can do that. And the truth of the matter is, I want to make this plea before this program is over. If you're listening to this, maybe you think, okay, I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to start churches. Don't start any more of the churches like those regular churches. Don't do that.
Mm.
We don't need any more of that. You know, I'm really going to make a plea.
Yeah.
There's a lot of churches all over the place here, and people have started a lot of them. You know what I mean? Don't do that. You know, take some time and get before the Lord to see what God will speak to you about, mm-hmm. how you are to be involved in the kingdom. But, of course, we don't need any more people running around out here starting, quote, so-called churches. Right uptown here, there was a building. They had 10 churches in that building.
Yeah, I know what you're speaking of.
Before it was condemned.
Yeah.
And I remember going by thinking to myself, this is the biggest foolishness.
Now, you know something, Jim?
But it was a picture of what takes place.
When you're saying that, I believe that anyone who is following what is taking place in these times, we're seeing God moving. And God is moving away from this whole structure that we have erected, because we see things happening and things are up in the air and in turmoil in the, quote, Christian circles in the Christian world.
That's a program in itself.
Yeah, and we see God moving in ways that we've never seen him move before in our lifetime. And, you know, we need to recognize that what we see happening, George Barna has done research on it, and these and scholars that are following this, they're seeing that the church is in upheaval right now because nothing is working the way it used to. And we're seeing people departing from the church in droves. And we're saying, something's wrong. No, it's just God moving. And we need to plug into what God is doing rather than trying to prop up our own institutions and our own buildings, so to speak.
Somebody
get on board with him.
That's right. Somebody might be listening, Carmen. And they're listening, and they don't want to go back in that system. But thoughts come to them about where it says, don't neglect the assembling of yourself mm-hmm. together, and scriptures and things like that. And that doesn't mean that you have to be caught up in that system. Basically, what I would encourage them to do is just find another believer, or believe God for you to move in the life of someone. Maybe they come to see the revelation.
Right.
And just begin to hang out with some people.
And that is happening all over, Jim.
Yeah.
There are believers coming together in homes, in offices, in cafes, and so forth. And they are not forsaking the assembling of themselves together. They are coming together.
That's right.
And they're sharing and they're encouraging one another.
That's right.
And people are being built up. probably, many of them, have never been built up before because they've never had that personal interaction with other believers where they can question, where they can share their own thoughts, that kind of thing, because they've been accustomed to is sitting and listening.
That's right.
And passively, and then going away for another week until they come back and do the same thing over again, has not been this engagement on their part.
That's right. We could keep going, Carmen. Thought came to me, I wanted to try to slide in, but we're all done.
Oh, really?
We're all done, Carmen.
Remember that thought.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I remember it, but we're all done till next time.
Okay, Jim.